It is good to be back at church. Sorry, I haven't been here for a while. Apparently my bad. Where is Andy still in here, though? That song, awesome. All of them, you know, but the one that you wrote about Cherry Blossom, I was thinking just how incredible it is to share from the depth of our own stories. And while this might make some of you uncomfortable, I want to share some of my story that I walk up here and I have a rash. You don't know what to do. This is what I was thinking about. This is how your song moved me. I have a rash. It's like AA. Hi, I'm Paul. I have a rash. Really, I was thinking about my rash. My rash is almost all gone. It's actually more scars. Earlier this year, my wife and I got to go on vacation to Mexico, and we don't get to do very many vacations away from our four kids. Not that we want to be away from our kids, but hey, it was awesome. And like 2 weeks beforehand, I was sick, and then I'm in a meeting, and I think it was Tiffany. Everybody say hi to Tiffany. Tiffany, raise your hand. Tiffany with our venture team says, hey, you got some stuff going on your arm there. And I started getting these bumps. And I'm like, oh, that's weird, a little bit awkward. So I go to the doctor, and fast forward, they're like, yeah, you got something going on. That's literally like the diagnosis. You have something going on. I'm sorry if you are in the medical profession, but you're the only profession that they say you practice it. You know, so they were practicing their diagnosis. And at first, they're like, hey, it should go away in 3 or 4 days. So I'm like, sweet, because it's like 10 days before I go on vacation. That's fine. And at about a week, I go back and said, hey, you know that whole 3 or 4 days things you lied? It's getting really bad, and I'm starting to look like a science project underneath all these clothes, and it went from here down to my ankles, and they're like, yeah, in some cases, it might be up to 2 to 3 months. Yeah, and I'm an overachiever, so it's been far more than 2 to 3 months, but the point is that my legs are looking like a, no offense, but somebody in their 80s or 90s that just, I mean, they are... they're scarred up, and who knows if it'll go away, but here was my thought, is that I come to church today, and I put my pants on, which is, you know, appropriate, but we hide these things, and I was thinking about Cherry Blossoms, and I was thinking about this church that I do consider a church family so dear to me, and I'm like, one of the things that I love about this place is the invitation for us to not have to hide all of our scars. The invitation for us to go, hey, yeah, you know, we're all kind of rashy, you know? Maybe you were rashy to your spouse on the way here, or maybe you were rashy last night, and maybe you've got some scars that you're not quite sure, are those healing scars to remind me of past pain, or might they flare back up? But the hope of the gospel is that rashy turns to scar, turns to an amazing story of what God is doing in our life. And so my name is Paul, and I have a rash. You can use that. Then I come in here, and I'm looking at this incredible space. And I know you guys have probably celebrated a lot, but I got to be here and walk through when it was just kind of, you know, a place that wasn't a place that people wanted to walk through. And Jarvis, with his dreamings, like, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And it was really cool to hear the dream of what was once kind of a little bit broken down and run down, turn into this. And I want to actually go back even further, because when this church was originally built, its first run, it was probably really beautiful. And I grew up in a church about this size. And so I know that the stories that probably are first connected to this church are impactful stories about what Christ did in people's lives. And the picture then of Watermark coming in and taking a building that over the years, in a community that probably dwindled, not Stillwater, but this, and to be able to build it back up. And as Jarvis was talking about being downstairs and you know, just dropping the ceiling downstairs and going through that, Jane leans over and goes, yeah, and all the dead mice that fell out of the ceiling. There's no more dead mice. It's all good, right? No germs at all. But that's kind of the point, is that no matter what we do, things just tend to entropy. They tend to just fall apart. And the hope of the gospel is that we come in and a group of people can really give hundreds of hands giving thousands of hours to restore a building with this new character, and it looks incredible. I keep looking at you, Jane, because I walked in and I loved the detail on the millwork, and I heard it was your idea, and I heard it was Woody and all of those that are doing the work. And I just want you to know, this is a picture of the church. This is the picture. We are in the business of restoring and renewing and redeeming. This is what we get to do. We sometimes focus so much on the telling part that we forget the showing part. There's show and tell. And this, you guys literally, for the last 5 years, have made Stillwater a better community. It's not just about growing the people that come into the room. It's about making the place that you choose to call home better. Renewed, restored, redeemed, inspired, and you walk into this building and it is all of those things. And this is what this community does. So it's pretty inspiring for me to be here, and I want to celebrate all of the hands, all of the dollars, all of the hours, all of the vision, and you guys as a community saying Stillwater is going to be better because Watermark's here. And you guys don't just stop at the here, like we're in this series, here, there, everywhere. You guys make impact all over. You help plant churches in South America. You help plant a church in Green Bay. I grew up in Green Bay, by the way. If there is a significant dip in the offering, Jarvis, where are you? Let me just help you out. You don't want to tell a group from Minnesota that you are taking their offering and giving it to Packer tickets, right? That's just, right? I mean, That being said, love your neighbor, even if they're world champions. Okay, so anyway, I digress. Seriously, let's get back to the word. It's okay. I'm sure it's your year. But you guys invest, whether it's sticks in Stillwater or whether it's the Twinkle Parade or the Holidazzle or whichever word connected to light that thing is, the walking of people in cold weather. All of those things, the fact that your pastor is known as the Stillwater's pastor, that business people go to him, the fact that you guys with your smiling faces represent a level of hope that we need. The fact that you guys, when you heard about an incredible issue of human trafficking, we've all heard about this for lots and lots of years, but you were given an opportunity to engage in that, and I want to celebrate Ben, because Ben, I hear, really, really championed that. Is that right, Nicole? Like, you guys, and you guys had over 30 people that participated in 30 for Freedom with bunch of people from around Minnesota as well as even further. This church had over 30 runners and volunteers that showed up. This church gave more money per capita than any church that was involved in this. This church had more participants per capita than anybody in this thing. And combined, there was over 600 people that ran in Minnesota, in Iowa, in Thailand. What's the last country, Candace? In Macedonia, right, Macedonia, of course. We had runners in Macedonia that said, it's not okay for young boys and girls to be treated like this. This group of people helped to be a part of raising over $170,000 in a one-day event. Those two numbers, people love the amount of people and the amount of money, and that's incredible, but a couple of the things that I love is that day, there was over 4,500 miles logged for people. People doing physical sacrifice on behalf of those in need. And that translates into over 750 hours traded. And when I say traded, people that could just sleep in, people that could just go get coffee, that could stream Netflix, they chose. And this isn't to make people feel bad that didn't get up that morning. I'm celebrating the people that got up and said, you know what? I'm going to get up and I'm going to trade out what's comfortable for me in sacrifice on behalf of other people. I recognize what God is doing in my life. I recognize the stability. I recognize the safety that I have, and I'm going to do something about that on behalf of other people. And that's what this community has been about. That's what Jarvis and Jane leads. That's what Ben and Nicole, that's your leadership, to be a part of something like that. So when you are sitting here, and I was next to Jane, I'm like, these people really like Jarvis, because we both thought maybe half of his jokes were worth laughing at, but you guys laughed at all of them. And So you really like this guy and this church and this vision, but to be a church that's not just we like the people in the room, but a church that leads, and that's what you guys did. You guys led. And so, Ben, would you come up real quick? And Nicole, I just want to, on behalf, I want you to receive something for Watermark on behalf of Venture. And it's simply a canvas, a picture of some of the refugees that we know personally. We know their names. We know who they are. These are children that you guys have supported. If you've supported Hope for Dinner, our refugee feeding program, these are kids that are vulnerable to trafficking. They are in incredibly difficult situations. And you guys, in one of the greatest cities in all the world, I mean, Stillwater's incredible. Even though it's beautiful and comfortable here, you choose something else so that these might know the hope of the gospel. And so thank you so much for your leadership. We love you guys. Love you. Love you. So that's why I love calling this place home. You guys, your DNA, who you are, is incredible. And there are some of you that are like, maybe this is my year to get plugged into Venture. I want to encourage you. We always have somebody to talk to you about Venture. We're going to still, yet this summer, we're going to bike from Minneapolis to Chicago. We're going to run across a whole state yet this year. And we've got tons of tours for next year and ways to engage. And so Tiffany and her husband James will be back there. My family is here. We would love to connect with you. But I just love this group. I love what you all are doing because to me, it is a picture of the gospel. The gospel is this recognition that Christ is making all things new. It was maybe 2 years ago when I was here, we talked about Revelation 21:5, one of my all-time favorite verses, because I need to be reminded, hey, what's the end goal? What are we doing? What's the thing besides just getting out of hell and getting into heaven? And Revelation says, I'm making all things new. We are in process of newness making. This is what Christ is doing, and he invites us to do that. So when you resurrect a building, and you make it a place that not only do you guys have a nice summer cabin, right? What church gets to say that? You guys summer at your other building? Okay, whatever. I'll probably preach against that next year, but nonetheless. But I love it because this place is used for civic events, for voting. This place is going to be used by the school system. This place, you literally are making the community better. And please don't underemphasize or don't push under the carpet the value of simply making the world around you better. Because that is a picture. It's not the end goal, but that is a picture of what Christ is doing in us. We are part of this new kingdom that is ushering in, that then bumps up against the natural laws around us. This natural law of decay, the natural law of buildings that aren't taken care of will have dead rats, right? It's good theology. Buildings that aren't taken care of, you're going to have to replace soffits. Things in our community that we don't take care of, they just kind of fall apart. And this isn't just theology. It's not just religion. This is science. Science tells us that things all atrophy to decay. Things tend towards chaos. Science tells us, we know it started all the way back in the garden with Adam and Eve, who made a choice to step away from God's plan and God's desire. And from that point, there was a lot of consequences. There's some disorder. There's some chaos. And we battle that kind of chaos on a daily basis. Scientists will agree. It's called the second law of thermodynamics. Now, you're going to have to put on your thinking caps. I hope you weren't up too late streaming whatever you stream on Netflix these days. But we're going to talk about the second law of thermodynamics. All right, here's what it is. Up here on this, we're going to read it to you in a second. Because I can't remember it, that's why I have to read it. Okay, I'm going to explain it. So all systems tend toward entropy, and entropy is a measure of disorder. We're going to go all the way to the last line. In essence, closed systems tend to break down. Now, you might look at that and go, okay, come on, help me out a little bit. Egg toss, right? Here, let's practice it. Entropy. This This is the second law of thermodynamics. It simply says this. There is an infinitely greater chance, I think it'll be fine. There is an infinitely greater possibility that a whole egg will break and make a mess. Then have you ever thought, what are the possibilities of every variable being perfect for this broken egg to become whole again? Never happened, right? I mean, there is a scientific ratio that would say that there is a possibility. We've just never seen it. We've never seen reversing like that. Entropy simply says no matter how great you are as an individual or as a person, there is a far greater amount of opportunity for things to deconstruct, for chaos to enter your life, for chaos to enter a building, for chaos to enter a community, a town, a group of kids. Oh, no, we can't. I thought maybe, well, what I kind of thought, this was like the Southern hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, if your life is like the egg, there's Jesus. Can't do that? That's a little, okay, sorry. There is Jesus, and that's true. I just don't talk like that. Okay, so the second law of thermodynamics, it's science. We feel it. Everybody that's over the age of 30, raise your hand. Entropy, right? Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Ain't getting any better, right? This is why we have to work on really trying to figure out that significant other and building the other parts of the relationship, because after 30, hey, you know, it's like, remember when. That's about it. Our body, this mortal coil, is entropying towards chaos, towards breaking down. This building entropies towards chaos breaking down. But guess what? When a group of people says we can battle against it with the hope of the gospel, we can come in and we can do something about those things. This is a possible scientific opportunity, and this is the kingdom coming in and saying, even though we feel this push against, even though we feel this pressure, even though we feel the decay around us, we see it in our community, in our neighborhoods, we see it in relationships, in marriages, that if you don't work at it, they just entropy, right? Except for yours, Jane and Jarvis, you guys are perfect. But for the rest of us, it takes work. It means that we have to add effort, or else a closed system is just going to kind of peter out. We see it in business. If you're a business person, if a business makes it past the first year, which is very difficult to do, to get from year one to year 10, less than 30% ever celebrate their 10th year in business, and obviously far, far less celebrate 100 years. Denominations, they don't make it. I know, that's crazy. Civilizations don't make it. You've got the Babylonian, the Roman civilization. You've got the civilization or the empire of Great Britain. You have the U.S. There is always an ebb and flow that big systems and small systems entropy towards chaos. And then the gospel. The gospel that comes in and says, I specialize in broken eggs. We're all broken eggs. We're the egg. I would encourage you to second guess eating any egg salad at the picnic today, but we're the egg. Our system, our debt, crash. I came to debt, divorce, crash. Love that wasn't reciprocated to me, crash. Parents that didn't take care of me as well, crash. I look in the mirror, I don't like what I see, crash. Choices that I make when no one's looking around, crash. We are surrounded by eggs that are broken, and the hope of the gospel is that he is making all things new, and that there is hope in these crashed egg situations. And so when we participate in things like this building or a run that says we are going to use the extra effort to address situations that we know are broken, that we can sense the agitation, when we are going to do something about it, we represent what Christ does for us. In the Shogun dynasty in Japan, somewhere around the 15th century, there was a new kind of pottery that was formed. It was called kintsugi. It's hard for me to say kintsugi without wanting to go, kintsugi! But I don't know if that's, maybe that's too many late night kung fu shows. I don't even know if kung fu is Japanese, so man, I'm really blowing it. But anyway, kintsugi! And kintsugi is not so much a style of pottery as much as it is a solution when pottery breaks. And the Japanese culture would have very, very valuable pottery. It was one of the highest things of value that they would own. And when it would break, they would want to fix that. And if you've ever broken anything, say your mom's gravy bowl, if you're older, younger people don't even know what a gravy bowl is, or a teacup or a plate or that bowl that we've said we're going to fix from Africa forever, it's literally on my fridge years. I'm mad now. Why do we have that broken bowl? Serious, I'm sweating. Why? This is second law of thermodynamics right now. That bowl makes me... Okay, what they would do is they would fix the cracks with literal gold dust. And they would make it beautiful. And instead of trying to hide the cracks, they would make the cracks be part of the story. And kintsugi pots are now far more valuable than any other kind of pot from that era when they have this beautiful gold, because part of the beauty is the story behind the cracks. Instead of hiding the cracks, the recognition that, yeah, life happened there, and they found a way to make it more beautiful. And I'm telling you what, John 3:16 in one word is kintsugi. It is that we are broken, and Christ is not asking us, he's not taking the egg and scooping it up, and then you become, poof, a beautiful, perfect white egg anymore. It's actually the opposite, that he is renewing us with the cracks. The cracks are part of the story. The cracks point to the kingdom, to his goodness, that in spite of the pain that I've felt, in spite of the choices that I've made that are good or bad, or choices made against me, those are part of the story, and right in those places, the gold, beautiful lines begin to form. And they begin to be a story that's beautiful, not only for one, but all of you. Together, there is a watermark pot that's called kintsugi that is this beautiful story of gold lines weaving throughout Stillwater, because people don't want to hang out with a full dozen beautifully white eggs because they're like, man, I got a rash. Right? I got a rash, and my rash is going to blemish these eggs. But if we're just a carton of cracked eggs, but we can see the gold, there's hope. There's hope that, behold, I am making all things new. I met a buddy of mine about 5 years ago when we did the IJM tour. It was a freedom tour. It was a bike ride from Cincinnati to D.C. And there was about 20-some of us that did this tour. It was a great tour. Some days were hard, some days were easy, but by far the most inspirational man that I met on this tour was a gentleman named Rich Dixon. And Rich Dixon was a teacher. Any teachers in here? None. Wow. One, yes, Diane, great. So he was a math teacher in high school, which I can't think of any worse way to spend my day than in high school trying to propagate and encourage people on why math is great. If you like math, that's your crack. So he was a math teacher, and it was around Christmas, and he was up on a ladder putting up Christmas lights in. The ladder slips and he falls. But it wasn't a usual fall. The fall actually ended up breaking his back, and he became paraplegic, soon to be a quadriplegic. And so here's a picture of our team. Can you show the picture of our team? And here's Rich. And if I'll show you one a little bit closer. Can you show the next one of Rich? Because Rich's story is incredible. Isn't that an epic picture? I love that picture. So Rich goes through all of what I would think most people do who used to have full functioning limbs and then has to deal with in the middle of his life. I believe he was in his 40s or early 50s, having to deal with the loss of all mobility. And I don't know the whole sequence, but ultimately Rich said, my story's not done. And Rich got on that's called a recumbent bike. And the thing about Rich is it looks like, oh, so he just can't use his legs. Rich actually is Velcroed in. This whole thing is designed just for Rich. He can't actually hold on to the handles. He has to Velcro his hands, and all he uses is his shoulders to get him from Cincinnati to D.C. He pushes like that. Yeah. So for those of you who think you can't do a 5K, you probably can, but that's not like a... I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just saying this guy's awesome, right? So we meet this guy, and I'm getting on a bike. It's really hard to complain after a long day of biking when I have, you know, I can do this, and he needs somebody to help wipe him. And I don't mean that crass. I just mean that's his reality. But he's taking his story, and he's using it, and he was raising money for the same types of things that you guys raise your money in 30 for Freedom to fight human trafficking. And he didn't just stop there. I just got a picture from Rich. Here's one of his groups. Rich literally is finishing up today he takes his own tours now, his own groups of people across Colorado, which is crazy. And he has raised, over the last few years, $150,000, just himself, a guy that can't use his arms or his legs. And his story is, fine, I'll still bike across whole states, bike across the country, because Jesus has a plan. And part of that plan, part of that newness making, is that young kids should not be trafficked in the sex industry. Because part of the hope of the gospel is, if God can give me purpose when I can't even move around, I can be a part of giving other people purpose. And not only that, but he invites other people in to be a part of him. And he mentors young people and old people, say, you can get on a bike, you can do this. This is kintsugi, this is the newness. Romans 8:28 says that God is working all things for the good. This verse is hard for me. This verse is hard because oftentimes I'm like, does that mean all things that happen are God's design? I don't know if it means that. I would tend not towards, but I'll default to the theology of the house on that. Jarvis, you can cover that in a Q&A. What I do know is kintsugi. What I do know is God is making all things new. What I do know is we're all rashy. What I do know is we're all broken eggs. Nobody, minus this beauty, oh, she left, this beautiful girl, maybe she's still a full egg, but the rest of us, we're cracked. And if we're not careful, when we become Christ followers, when we are lucky enough to hear this incredible gospel message that says, God can make you new, we work as hard as we can to be a really nice white new egg. And you're not supposed to. The cracks are supposed to be there. And God wants to dust them with gold because it's part of your story. And that story can draw all men unto him. Part of that story. And when that happens, when we make that shift that we don't have to be perfect, that we can deal with our rash, I was going to say in public, but you know what I mean. Like, whatever. It's awkward. When we create safe space to say that, hey, I'm in process and I am being made new, and then we hear a whisper that we're invited to that newness making for other people in other communities, then even though we're not perfect, we restore buildings. Even though we're not perfect, we share the hope of the gospel. I'm convinced it's why everybody's so hooked on like Fixer Upper and Flip Flop and all these HGTV shows. They're not binging on new construction videos, right? It's not like, hey, let's watch another building go up in a part of the city, or let's watch another new building. No, we like the Fixer Uppers. We like the makeovers. We like the narration and the story that's a little bit like us, that something that was could be awesome. We like the idea that my house that's could be awesome for less than $4,000. You know, we like this idea, and we're fixed because there's an echo of the gospel in it. There's an echo of the good news. We are drawn. The arts get it so much more than we do. Artists who write songs get it so much better than we do. They find it in nature. They find it in the world around us, and they say, these are all whispers to the kingdom. Behold, I'm doing something new. And you know what? It might just blow your mind.